Good morning and welcome to this episode of Under the Helmet. With so much, we're about 36, 37 days away from the start of APDL season. With so much going on, it's just always good to be in touch with teams coming in, returning teams, just teams in general. To discuss the Alabama Wolfpack, we have owner Chad Simmons. And I want to say offensive lineman, but I know you play a variety of positions. Devin Bush, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Morning, Jay.
Morning.
Doing good. Now, Devin, to you first. You have played in the league before. You have played with the Blackhawks. What made you decide to join the Wolfpack?
I joined with them last year. It was one of those things where, you know, nobody really gets paid in this league. It's just kind of one of those, like, you look out for your best interest. You try to find a team that you mesh with the best, that, you know, somebody that really fits, you know, what you're looking for in a goal. And that was kind of where I ended up.
Now, you have played with the Blackhawks and you have played in this league. Like, from what you have seen of the Wolfpack last year going into this one, Devin, what did you like when you joined it? What was the first thing that stuck out most?
With the Blackhawks or with the Wolfpack?
With the Wolfpack.
With the Wolfpack, I mean, it was – they've got a lot of same similarities as far as what the Blackhawks had going on. I mean, you know, everybody's kind of – it's more like a family. It's not just a, you know, I'm out here to do me, you know, get my highlight tape and go to the house. You know, everybody kind of – you know, if something's going on with a player, everybody looks out for them, you know, checks on them, you know, ask if there's anything they can do for them. It's more family-oriented. Everybody meshes together real well. It reminds you a lot of, like, what high school football was all about, you know. It wasn't all about, you know, me. It's a team. It's a group effort. You know, everybody's got the same goal. Everybody wants to win a championship.
Now, Chad, when you started the Wolfpack, I mean, you had to know going in that it is a – financial is a time strain upon anyone. When did you know you wanted to do it, and what prompted you to go down this path?
Well, I've always loved football, to be honest with you. Had a bad accident when I was 17 and couldn't play anymore. Suffered some fractures in the spinal cord, and so it took years of rehab and to get better. And so, you know, the love of the game had never faded. And a couple of years ago, I got a call from one of my good buddies to come in and help coach a program in the IFAL with Alabama Rams. And so I joined it, and I seen the struggles of the guys who were out there practicing, you know, week to week, and seen the potential in it. And it was just something I knew right away that I had to get involved in. And I knew that our area from where I'm located just didn't have enough of it. And so we came into this with an open mind, and I've seen a little glimpse of the future of possibilities of being able to take guys, you know, try to make connections and use my, you know, previous experience in sales and just communication and get these guys, you know, a chance that if they do want to go pro or, you know, somewhat even get back into college for the younger guys, you know, we had a vision and, you know, to this point, we've done a good job of holding up to that. And, I mean, we've made some really good connections with the FAM that's, you know, in Mexico. We've got some arena ties and things like that. So, you know, with being a new program, we have come a long way. And then, you know, here in Chilton County, we've, you know, Blake, he's started the college prep program. So, you know, just in a year and a half, we've made tremendous strides moving forward to help those that are out of high school or those that are, you know, past the point of where they can't play college to get into a pro level. And then we also have just the love of the game. There's a lot of guys out here that just love to play the game. So at the end of the day, we just kind of fill all the gaps that are, you know, that's voids in our life. And, you know, we enjoy it. We've made a good step forward this direction in this year to making all the right moves. And last year was all about experience. We took some hits after COVID hit. It was tough on everyone. We went ahead and finished the season out, and it was tough. But, you know, this year we're looking forward to just a fresh start, new coaching staff, new players coming in, and just looking forward to the competition.
Now, Devin, you are from Jasper. Now, explain to people what the football culture like is in Jasper, Alabama.
Oh, in Jasper, it's football from the time you can walk, crawl. I mean, from the time you can strap up, you know, you're in football. There's no way around it. My dad coached me from toy bowl all the way up to when I joined middle school, and then they were always at high school games. Then I started playing semi-pro. They were at all the semi-pro games. I mean, it's a way of life. It's not just a game up here. You've got to have love for it, or, I mean, you won't make it.
Now, Chad, to you, when you look at the state of Alabama and you look at the wide array of semi-pro / developmental teams, there's 10, 12, maybe even more, probably in almost two dozen. You said that the Clinton market, or the Chilton market, I should say, is desperate for that type of semi-pro influence. When you look at Alabama as a state, do you think the state has too many teams, and why do you think there's so many teams, if you do?
You know, I think it does have too many teams, but at the same time, all these rosters are full. You know, it brings in more opportunity. You have so many talented athletes that get into semi-pro, and you see it right now. One of the biggest things you're seeing is just veteran offensive linemen, you know, and defensive linemen. They've been doing this since high school, and they're getting up there, you know, in their mid, you know, 30s, lower 30s, and they're coming to a, you know, close in, and they may play till they're in their 40s or who knows. I mean, as long as their bodies will let them. But you know, where we've seen an opportunity was just really for the, you know, the awareness of getting the younger guys out. Where you run into a problem when you have so many experienced guys coming into, you know, veteran teams is that your younger guys kind of have to take a back seat. With us, we have an opportunity this year, you know, as we did last year too as well. But, you know, we're able to get these guys in and play the young guys. And to be honest with you, they're super talented. They're fresh out of high school. You know, they got a lot of high energy, and speed makes a big difference. And so we see the age game playing a factor here in practice here of late. It definitely does take a toll on your body after a while, and so it's harder to get veteran offensive line. It's hard to bring new offensive line in, let's put it that way. The younger generation just doesn't have an opportunity to come in and play as much on a veteran team as they do teams like ours and things like that. So at the end of the day, I think that's one of the biggest situations you have of why we are able to field rosters, and Alabama just loves football. So regardless of whether you're from Montgomery or Birmingham or wherever you're from, you're going to find someone to play football because this is a state of football. That's what it's all about here.
Now, Devin, you, to build off Chad's point, that where you see a lot of young guys coming in, you've played on veteran teams. Have you seen veterans kind of, for lack of a better term, mail it in? Like they know, or they think they know, they can just show up, miss practice, and just play? And how does that wreck a team chemistry wise?
This, you see it a lot. Guys come in thinking, you know, oh, I'm a veteran, I've done this for so many years, you know, I can just kind of do the bare minimum, skate by. And I mean, it does, like younger guys kind of pick up on that and they think that's just the normal. Come on.
Now, Chad, when you look at fellow owners and you see that every owner isn't made the same, where you have your diligent ones and you have your lazy ones, how do you deal with a lazy owner as far as making sure that game day prep is all right and just communication?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we can only do what we can do. You know, we can send out our messages and we can, you know, set up phone calls and things like that. We can do the best that we can do. That's all we can really offer. At the end of the day, if they're not responding or, you know, they're not communicating, we just take it as, you know, with the experience we've got, we just prepare the way we know how to prepare. We go in, you know, looking for the fact that, hey, there may not be any locker rooms, there may not be water supply, and so we just do the best that we can. Taking care of all those angles, making sure that, if, you know, before we go to a game, that we're just doing the best and preparing in what we know how to do to make sure that we get the best out of what we can get.
Devin, what player, current player on the Wolfpack, tends to remind you of a younger version of yourself?
What was that, Terry?
What current teammate you have on the Wolfpack will tend to remind you of a younger version of yourself?
Oh, the younger team that would remind me of myself?
If you have a teammate who is a younger player.
Oh, a teammate. I would say probably Randall Reese. He's a defensive end. He's got a lot of drive and determination. You know, he's a standout team player. You know, he's one of those that, you know, if he has to bump around to a different position, like I've had to do on, you know, pretty much every team that I've played with,
True.
He doesn't mind. Like, he'll jump into rotation, you know, tell me what I got to do, where I need to go. I mean, he's there for it. He doesn't complain about it. He doesn't, you know, piss and moan. He's just one of those, like, tell me where I need to go, I'm there. Another guy, you know, Derek Likes, he plays defensive tackle. He actually played on Auburn's national championship team. He's another one, you know, if there's anywhere I need to go, like, throw me on goal line, you know, any special teams, whatever I got to do, you know, throw me in, I'm there. You know, those guys, that's how I was when I first got into it. And, I mean, I'm still that way. Chad knows as bad as I hate playing offensive line, I mean, if they need me, he knows I'll be one of the first ones to strap my helmet on and go.
Now, Chad, looking forward in the schedule, you play every game in the state of Alabama. How, for your fan base, how great is that to be able to keep it in the home state and to drive people to your games? Like, to be able to see people come in and sit on your side of the field?
Well, you know, I think the schedule sets up really nicely. We do go to Pensacola. You know, we do got to go to Pensacola, and then at the end of the year, I think we do travel to Georgia to play the Thrashers. So we do have two away games, but for the majority of the part, they are all close and local, and I think that it sets up really, really good for us. You know, it does help finish off with the recruiting part of things. Of course, more guys like to stay, you know, some guys like to travel, some guys like to stay local. It's definitely going to help this year with our number turnouts. You know, as any team can tell you in semi-pro, traveling is probably one of the most difficult things that you can do as a semi-pro team, because you may not get everyone there if you're not traveling together. With that being said, with all these games that are here in Alabama, and, you know, two of them being right there in Birmingham, in the same, you know, stadium, I think that sets up really well for us. I think that we're going to have really good turnouts. We did last year, even with COVID, you know, we were just able to go to Fairhope very well, traveled very well, went down there and got a win. We was able to turn around the next week and go to Dalton, Georgia, which was a phenomenal team there. So we're no stranger to traveling. We can travel. And I think overall the schedule, it's got a gauntlet in it now. I mean, if you start to look midway through that schedule, it gets pretty tough. But the buys come in at the right time for us. And so, you know, we'll play a couple hard games and get some, you know, time off, and then get right back at it and go through that hard stretch, and then, you know, try to finish out the season and hopefully make a run for the playoffs.
Devin, you have little kids, right? You have, I think, what, two kids? Three?
Three. Girls and a boy.
Two girls and a boy. Good Lord, have a boy and a girl. When you look at into the crowd, and how important, just as a dad, being able to have your kids at games and be able to have them see you play?
I mean, it's great. Both of my girls, you know, when I first started playing, with Pete Down when they were in the XSFL, and both of my girls, you know, they were there every home game, most of the away games, and then transferring over into, you know, the Blackhawks and now the Wolfpack. My little boy, he actually got to come to the playoff game last year versus the Steel, and he was all for it. I mean, he's going to be the same way I was. I know as soon as he's crawling, he'll be strapping shoulder pads and a helmet on. So being with a team that, you know, real family oriented, you don't have to deal with a lot of fighting, cussing, stuff like that on the sideline. while kids are there. I mean, it's a nice adjustment. It's definitely a plus.
Now, Chad, you guys played in the IAFL and you made the jump. What prompted the jump to the APDFL? What was the main impetus to get you here?
At the end of the day, competition, man. I mean, you know, we hear so much about some of these teams, and we had already got some insight that the Horsemen were moving over. We come from that background. We know what they're capable of doing. The Atlanta Tigers, you know, had moved over. We know what they're capable of doing. We're familiar with most, you know, all the ADP, APDFL teams that are here. We're familiar with them. We've even, you know, had preseason games against them. So the competition was definitely the first thing that came to mind was, you know, let's, you know, we knew when I started the Wolfpack that we wanted to try both leagues. We wanted to see what both of them had to offer. And so we went through that last year and we played the games and everything was great. Great organization, great teams that we played, had fun. But this year we wanted to step up a little bit and play the in-state games a little more and try to set, you know, the record straight. There's a lot of good quality teams here. And so we just want a chance to play them, and see how we stack up against them. Nothing more, nothing less. Just the competition alone, should make it very interesting. So we knew we had to swing this way. And at the end of the day, I think all the coaches were on board with it. I think that's what made the final decision. We talked about it. We voted on it. And at the end of the day, the APDFL is where we came to get that competition.
Now, Devin, you are in Alabama. There is a diversity in football that is different than most sports. How have people on the same team and same field block out the idiocy of bigotry and actually focus on playing as a brotherhood?
I think a lot of it is, I mean, it just reverts back to, you know, football in the South. I mean, it's different than pretty much anywhere else in the nation. I mean, you're born into it. Like, if you don't have the drive and the passion for it, I mean, you're taught at a young age, you know, in between the lines, everybody's a brother. You know, it's a brotherhood. It's not a you. It's not a me. It's a we thing. You know, everybody's out there for the same reason. You know, you're taught, you know, it don't matter the color of your skin, black, white, brown. I mean, everybody's out there. Once you strap on the pads, everybody's the same person. So, I mean, I've actually gotten probably more fights on the field, you know, taken up for my teammates that are black from, you know, somebody coming out of pocket saying something that they know they shouldn't have let come out of their mouth than I have any other time in my life. That's one thing I'm not going to play with. Like, everybody's out here. We're all equals. You know, I look at the man next to me like my blood brother. I'll fight over him in a heartbeat.
That's the way it should be. Now, spinning for just football in Alabama in general, Chad, you are an Auburn man.
Yeah.
Why didn't Gus work out?
Because he sucks.
I think Gus is a good coach. I do. I think the system's a good system, but football is constantly evolving. You see new offenses. Right now, you know, Alabama is the king of offense. Sharp's got it going over there. Alabama's been, you know, a dominant threat for a while. And if anyone has beat Alabama, I think that Gus has definitely, had his fair share of wins over that program. But at the end of the day, I think it was frustrating to see just the play calling. I mean, at the end of the day, same kind of things over and over, and it's a system that's built that way. But Auburn knows what they're doing. They want change, and at the end of the day, I think they get it. We brought in a lot of people that I think is going to make a good impact. I have a lot of questions, but I trust in the program. They've made some good decisions in the past, and I'll support them all the way through. And so far, I like where we're going. I just wish the fans knew more about these guys before they start bashing on all the coaches. We've got some good coaches coming in, and I'm very interested to see where, you know, they stack up this year. They was able to swing latest news, Christian Tutt, who had, you know, you know, actually left and declared for the draft, signed an agent, everything, but then entered the transfer portal and backed out of that. So now he's back with Auburn again, and he's going to finish out. So they're doing something down there, right? And you know, let's just hope we can stop the bleeding and hopefully this new offense that's coming in, and we can develop Bo a little bit better, and, you know, maybe looking forward. We got a five-star recruit sitting on the board. Hopefully some things will change, and, you know, in 1 year everything can change. So, you know, Auburn's good at doing it. Every time we've made big changes like this, we come out and have a successful season. So let's see if the streak continues.
I know when they hired Coach Harsin from Boise State, he got guys that come to Boise, Idaho from California. That, I mean, that's magic right there. That's like sorcery. You don't really want to
really
see somebody give up sunshine for cold winters and bland food. Now, Devin, you are a Bama guy. Before Nick Saban got there, there was the dark period between Coach Stallings and Coach Saban. There was a long period of just
the darkness. Dark ages.
Do you think that Coach Saban has built something that, even after he retires and Coach Swinney, who will probably be his successor, takes over, that they won't miss a beat?
As long as they keep with, you know, like kind of how they do things now, like the Saban way of doing business, I think, you know, Alabama can continue to be successful like they have been throughout the years. But, you know, if Saban leaves or Saban retires, and they try to change the way things have been, and I just have this feeling like we're going to slip back into the dark ages. Because, I mean, the old saying, if it's not broke, don't try to fix it. I mean, we've had a pretty spotless record, you know, ever since Saban got there. But, you know, I'll give Auburn their kick six win, because I know Chad's still gloating on that one. But yeah, as long as they stick to the normal way of doing business, they stick to – you know, the fourth quarter program, the way Saban's conditioned them, how to play games, because everybody knows Alabama's a second quarter team. As long as they are a second half team, as long as they stick to the normal way of business, I mean, I think Alabama will still keep things business as usual, but if they try to change it, it'll be dark years again.
Now, Chad, who is your favorite Auburn player of all time, and who was the one Auburn player that you swore would be good at the next level but never turned out?
Ooh, that is a tough question. There's so many of them. I would say Derek, because he's on the team. But I love Derek with all, you know. I don't know, Nick Coe, you know, was a really good defensive tackle. Went on and played for the Lions. He had a little bit of trouble, but if I've got to go with an all-time favorite, it'd have to go all the way back to Bo Jackson. To be honest with you, it's been that long for me. So to see Bo get in the NFL, dominate the way he did, and then, you know, to suffer an injury, not be able to finish out his career and really get, you know, he gets a lot of respect. But I think that he had a lot more to give, and he's still giving off the field. So it's definitely Bo Jackson at the end of the day. When you hear Auburn, you think of Bo. And I've got to stay loyal to that, just thinking that, you know, he's someone that I looked up to growing up and wanted to be like, and he's right here out of Alabama itself. That would be the guy that I would have to pick.
Devin, same question. Who's your favorite Alabama player, and who's the one Bama guy that you swore would be big at the next level but never really panned out?
One that I thought would really be something big at the next level, but I mean, you just never really heard anything about him after football. You know, Terrence Cody, you know, he was a big, physical guy. You know, he had a standout year, you know, while he was at Alabama, and then it was like after that, you never really heard much about it. But probably favorite, I'd have to say Sean Alexander, you know, running back. I think his career rushing yards was close to like 3,500 or 4,000, and he was the All-American while he was there. So, I mean, he'd have to be probably one of my favorites.
If I had to pick one from each school, favorite Auburn player, being that I cover the Raiders, got to be Bo Jackson. Just a blend of speed and power. The one guy I thought that would be much better would be Cadillac Williams. If he hadn't gotten hurt and John Gruden hadn't ran him into the ground the first 2 or 3 years in Tampa, he was about to put up some serious numbers. For Alabama, my favorite Alabama player, this is going to sound weird, George Teague. Here's why. I'm 19 years old. I am in New Orleans for the Miami-Alabama championship game at the Sugar Bowl. Young and stupid in New Orleans. Whole other story. But I'm watching Lamar Thomas about to score a touchdown. Out of nowhere. I mean nowhere. He was beaten by 20 yards. Teague races down, rips the ball out, and runs back the other way. To me, that is one of the greatest defensive plays I've ever seen, and I never forgot George Teague for that one. Now,
I'll never forget that play either. That was a good play.
And I remember that game because Bob Marley's son was playing linebacker for Miami, and he came on a blitz, and one of the Alabama tackles flipped him over. He went upside down, like he went end over end. And I remember Alabama, our quarterback was Jay Barker, the running back was Derek Lassick, and mm-hmm. It just was one of those games that will stick in my memory. Now, Chad, if anyone wanted to contact the Wolfpack as far as becoming a sponsor or coming to games, how would they contact you?
You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. We have pages. And then, there's always my phone numbers are linked to those pages. So you can pull up the Alabama Wolfpack on Facebook. That's where we're most active. And you can look right there, and the phone number's there, and you can give us a call. And we would love to have, that's one thing about us is just being so busy right now with getting everything geared up. We haven't had a whole lot of time to get out and find sponsors. And last year, we had two, and, most of it was all funded out of my pocket. And so it does take a hit. So it would be great to handle that stuff early and get it over with. But regardless, we're not going to go without. That's something that I've always made a commitment to, that no matter how things turn out or, who gives you money, who doesn't give you money, we're gonna make this work together. And last year I did the best that I think that I could have done, and there's always room for improvement. But that was a lesson learned. So this year we've approached it different. We put some new guidelines up, and you can definitely see a football program starting to, take shape here.
That's the best thing. And I want to thank Chad Simmons, Devin Bush. Fellas, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Under the Helmet. Best of luck in the season. We definitely will circle back and see what progress is being made. I appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir.
This has been another episode of Under the Helmet. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.